God is great. Amen. Please turn your Bible with me to Acts chapter 19. And if you don't have your Bible with you, you can look up here and it'll be up on the screen so you'll know I'm not making this stuff up. Because some of the stuff we're looking at today, you might want to believe that we're making this stuff up. We have been in the Luke-Acts sequel for some time now. And we have noticed that the author, Luke, is explaining to the recipient, who is Theophilus, a guy named Theophilus, who Paul is. And to do that, you have to understand who Jesus was. So it goes back to the birth of Jesus and talked about the enemies that Jesus has. And then we get to the ministry of the apostles in the early days, and then we get to Paul, and we've been following Paul because this book is going to end with Paul in prison in Rome, awaiting trial. And so these two books have something to do with that, giving Theophilus the background to understand that. We are actually on Paul's third and final missionary journey. It kind of snuck up on us. We talked about Apollos because he met Priscilla and Aquila, and he learned more about Jesus, and then he went on a ministry to Corinth, which we've talked about. And while he was there, Paul came all the way through the interior and came back to Ephesus because he promised he would. And he's been doing ministry. He started out in the synagogue like he normally does, and that didn't last that long. But for 2 years in a place called the lecture hall of Tyrannus, he's been teaching about Jesus. And Luke says all of Asia Minor. Think modern-day Turkey, okay? Heard the word of God. And last week I gave you some insights. I tried to give you some insights about how important that was because several of your books in your Bible are addressed to churches in that area. We have Ephesians, which is actually directed to several churches in the area, and Colossians. But we also have the books of John. Yeah, the Apostle John. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Remember, the book of Revelation is written to seven churches. Those churches are in Asia Minor. Okay, so this is a very important place. This morning we sang the song that we normally sing when we ask missionaries to go in the mission field. And when I was sent into the mission field, that was part of the ceremony they had sending me to Africa. Here I am, Lord, is it I? I will go as long as you lead me. And that came to mind because this is where life gets really, really strange for Paul. Not that it hasn't gotten strange already. We've looked and talked about how many times he's been beaten, how many times he's been scourged, how many times he gets shipwrecked, how many times he was stoned, just once, okay. All of those things that he's endured already. But Asia Minor is a new high mark for Paul. And we're going to look at that. We're going to start in chapter 19 and verse 11. And I know Bill gets you there before I get there. Okay, here we go. In chapter 11. So it says God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Like what? Well, handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Okay, I tried to point out how few and far between miracles come in your Bible. And if you look at Paul's ministry, it's been a long time since we've seen a miracle. But now he's back in Asia Minor. Remember, he tried to get there earlier, back in the second missionary journey, and the Spirit wouldn't let him go, but now it's ready. And some amazing things are going on that Paul doesn't even have to be there. Things that touched him are curing people. The last thing we saw close to this is, remember when Peter, closely after Acts chapter 2, would walk and his shadow would fall on people, right? Remember Jesus said, you're going to do some pretty amazing things. It's actually Jesus doing these pretty amazing things through these people. This is amazing. And it probably is something that haunts Paul. Why hasn't this always happened? Well, what keeps missionaries going? What keeps them going? What makes them sign up again? What makes them go on the next missionary journey? I have to tell you some things that Paul comes to that are not in the book of Acts. Well, they are, kind of. While he is in Asia Minor, in Ephesus, for those 2 years he's teaching, he writes a book. Yeah, it's a book. It's a thesis. We call it Romans, to the church, the believers in Rome. And there's a reason. The author's original intent to his original audience. And if you read the book of Romans, you're going to see it's Paul's message laid out in detail. And then in the end, the last chapter, he gives them a hint. He says, oh, by the way, I want to come visit you and have you help send me on to Spain, where no one that he knows of has gone to preach. Paul wants to keep going to places where Jesus has never been heard about. I don't know. Does he want to see this kind of thing happen again? Or is it enough for him just to have people come to trust Jesus and see their life change? Sometimes we like to see the big things going on, right? But it always comes down to just the small things. Each individual coming to get to know Jesus. Because these people that were healed by a handkerchief or an apron, guess what? They're not with us. You know why? They died. Yeah. And sometimes we get so hung up on physical healing and our desire to live longer and the people that we love. And you know what? There's an end. There's an end to this body. And then we have this other world. Oh, by the way, there's another thing that he thought of. And this is going to lead to him getting in prison. Last time he was in Antioch, he must have heard, or maybe he went up to Jerusalem, but he heard things were really tough for the Christians there, the believers, because of persecution. So he gets this idea. Why don't I ask the churches to see if they can contribute? And so he asked all the churches that he started to contribute, and they jumped on that wagon. Yeah. And you're going to read about that in some of the letters, like the letter 2 Corinthians. He said, hey, you guys were the first ones to say, yeah, we'll contribute. He said, but you know what? You probably ought to make some preparation. And so from Asia Minor, he's going to go back through Macedonia, and he does not hit Corinth, and that really upsets them. Okay. But he starts collecting that money, and from each church, he asks somebody to go with him to distribute that money, just to clear things out. Now, that's where he is when he goes into the temple in Jerusalem and they accuse him of bringing Titus in and they arrest him. You know, no good deed goes unpunished. Okay, those are two things that happened in the 2 years plus that he was teaching at the school of Tyrannus. But here's some other things that happened. And it has to do with this other subset of people. There was the sick, and there were those who were possessed by evil spirits. And like I told some of you, I just recently sold my car, my Prius. I had this lady come with her son, and she found out that through the conversation I was a pastor, and she said, oh, my son has an evil spirit. He's standing right there. Can you drive out that evil spirit? I said, depends on if I sell the car or not. No, I didn't say that. I said, what made you think he has an evil spirit? Well, you know, he plays video games all day, and he stays in his room, and he has the curtains closed, and he doesn't come out except, you know, and when he goes out to see his friends, it's dark, and, you know, it's an evil spirit. I said, I might have a son with an evil spirit then. How do you explain in your worldview why people do what they do? Well, in this time, they explained it through the spirit world, the unseen world. Okay? And I don't know if you know how much of the world is involved in that, and that's their worldview. I know when I went to Ghana in West Africa, that was their worldview. They explained things to not just evil spirits, but also ancestors. Yeah, you didn't keep your great aunt happy? She would come and torment you and make your life miserable. Yeah, now, hey, we shake our head. How many times have we threatened to haunt our kids? We'll come back and haunt you. Okay? All right? I don't know how you explain the unseen world, but this is going to give you some ideas of what their worldview was like. So let's keep reading, okay? It says here, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, wait, this was their business, right? Can you imagine what it said on the side of their truck? You know, or what kind of business card? You know, you have spirits, who are you going to call? So it says, And this is a very specific group of people. He says, they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, and brothers, seven brothers, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I hope that doesn't insult your delicate ears. It's not the only time naked comes up in the Bible. Okay, I have offended people by reading that in the text before, but it is in your text. So we have seven guys that went in a business situation to drive out an evil spirit, and they invoke the names of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Why not? Been working for Paul, right? I mean, even handkerchiefs and stuff, and aprons, and people are being cured of the evil spirits, and so why not get in on this? Yeah. A chief priest. How many chief priests are there? And not many. This was a big thing. I know it doesn't feel comfortable for you. It doesn't feel comfortable for me. There are times I look at it, and it seems kind of funny. There are times I look at it and it seems very scary. Never does it feel normal. Never. Because I wasn't raised with this kind of worldview, but I know people who were. One of whom did not buy my car. This has a consequence. It says here, verse 17, when this became known, this whole story about the seven sons of Sceva, to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. Were they familiar with fear? Yeah. Yeah, they were. Anytime you live in a worldview that your world is being influenced, touched by the unseen world, you live in Fear. You live in fear of the unseen world. You do. And you might. And I might in ways. And it goes into our DNA. It is not that far from us. And I've given you these examples before. I'm going to give you the examples again. When was the last time you went and knocked on wood? And do you ever ask yourself, why? Well, you're asking the benevolent spirits in those trees to help you. That's where that came from. The old Gesundheit thing, remember that? Right? God bless you. Why are you blessing somebody? Because evil spirits are trying to enter through their nose. Yeah, we can go on and on and on. Things that are just rooted in the unseen world. And we don't think about the unseen world. Matter of fact, we believe in the unseen world, though, right? How many believe that there is a coronavirus? Have you seen it? Well, we can see it with electronic magnifiers. How many of you have seen an electron? How many believe in electrons? Yeah, every time you turn the switch on, to make your lights come on. Every time you turn the key to get your car to turn over, right? The unseen world. Yeah. Do we live in fear of that? Sometimes. Sometimes. But these people heard about what happened with Paul and the seven sons of Sceva, and it scared them because there's a system to deal with the unseen world, and there were, and now it's not working. And now they're living in fear. And who are they afraid of? Huh. Let's see what happens here. He says, they were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Paul's been here for 2 years. So they're relatively new Christians, right? How much do you expect them to grow 2 years into their faith? Do you expect them to give up sorcery? Well, they hadn't until this happened. Sorcery, witchcraft. It's so funny. I was on the way over here, I saw a sign for craft sale. And I said, witchcraft. No, that's not right. There are a lot of different kinds of crafts, right? Witchcraft. You're going to find it in your New Testament. You're going to find it in Galatians. You're going to find it in Colossians, Ephesians. You're going to find it in there that says, don't do it. Don't do it. Witchcraft is a way of reaching around behind the unseen world and making it work for you. That's what witchcraft is. Spells, incantations. If you want to protect yourself, fetishes. I'd walk around in the fields of Ghana and I'd see these fetishes over their crops to protect them from witchcraft. Yeah. And my students, they would go to the Western doctor, but they would also go to the tribal doctor to have evil spirits. You just cover all your bases, right? Yeah. So, 2 years. 2 years you've had people sitting in the pews. No, wait. Time out. They didn't have pews. Gathering with the Christians. Rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Taking the Lord's Supper. And they still were living in fear of the unseen world to the point that they would practice sorcery. And folks, I love it when Luke gives us some numbers. I told you he's a Western thinker, and we live in numbers, and this helps us understand some things. He's going to give us some numbers. It says here, they came and burned them publicly. We had a bonfire at church, right? A bonfire. Guess what they're going to burn? Scrolls. A scroll is expensive enough. And it wasn't like you go down and get a ream of paper, right? I mean, it costs something to have something to write on. It was vellum or it was papyrus. It was not cheap. But these were much more so. It says here, when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. Yeah, drachma. I'm going to do some math for you because I had to do it at home. A drachma is a day's wage, right? And I gave everybody a raise from when I used to talk about this. People now, $15 an hour, okay? $15 an hour for 40 hours a week, multiplied by 50,000, $6 million. A $6 million bonfire. Wow. Well, couldn't they have sold those and used the money? No. These are magic scrolls. You know what magic scrolls were? We have copies, by the way, of magic scrolls from this time in this vicinity. And you know what they are? They're invoking names of gods and deities and anybody they can invoke. Have you ever invoked a name? Yeah? You came close this morning, right? When you said the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, your name is holy. Your name is hallowed. We didn't do it though, did it? We didn't use the name of God. How come? Well, because God gave Moses a name that couldn't be used. Remember back, way, way back, when he met him in the burning bush, and Moses' first question was, what's your name? And he gave him a pronoun, a verb, the I am. But you couldn't say it because if you said it, you used a vowel, and in Hebrew that would give you a tense. So the word was the I was, I am, I will be. And we still talk about that, don't we? They could not use God's name. They would use part of it. We like to pronounce it Yahweh. We sing hallelujah, praise Yah. Yeah. Invoking deities' names. These magic scrolls would have lists of deities and their names and their secret names. And on some of them we found they had the name Jesus along with the rest of them. It's like taking a multivitamin to make sure you got it, you know? Just get it all what you need. How do you come to the point of thinking that something worth $6 million is now kindling, that it's junk, that it's worthless? Because you've seen the power. You've internalized that power. You know the only name that you will invoke. We ended our prayer today in the name of Jesus. Don't we do that? In the name of Jesus, we're invoking a name. Is there any other name under heaven by which men can be saved? According to Acts, no. You get into the books written for this area. Ephesians and Colossians. In our Bible study last Wednesday, we did this. We looked at the fact that Paul said, Everything was created through Jesus. Everything. The seen and the unseen. And then you run into terminology like dominions and powers. All of that is underneath Jesus. Jesus is Lord of the seen and the unseen. And that may not be good news to you. It sure was to my students. How long did it take them to incorporate that? To really believe that Jesus is Lord of all of it? That there's nothing out there I need to fear. How are you doing with that? You still hanging on some fear somewhere? Yeah. It could look a lot of different ways. But you know it's a fear. You probably don't talk about it much, but it's always back there. In the back of your mind. I'm afraid of dying. Is Jesus the Lord of those who are still breathing and those who are no longer breathing? Yes. Yes. Afraid of pain. I never promised that pain wouldn't come, but it's going to be temporary. Because the next body you have is not going to have the kind of problems that we have now. I'm afraid that my life is meaningless. Have you not drawn close to Jesus and what he's done for you and the love that he has for you? Yes. If you're living in fear, there's still spiritual growth that needs to go on. And something big happened. A $6 million bonfire. Yeah. It says, verse 20, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely, and grew in power. After all this happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Passing through Macedonia and Achaia, after I've been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. And he sent his two disciples. Did we all this? We're all, in verse 22? Okay, good. He sent his two disciples, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. And we're going to read next week that he might have stayed a little too long. Because next week we're going to have a riot. Next week we are going to realize what happens when you touch people in the pocketbook. And see what happens when Jesus runs up against people and their desire to make money. It's a fascinating account of what happened. I know I had some fascinating things happen in my time in Africa, but nothing like this. Nothing like this. Because the Word of God had been there already. And people were still growing. The Word of God has been in Sun City, right? Are people still growing? I hope so. The Word of God has been in your life for a while. Are you still growing? Are you still facing fears? Does this mean anything more to you now than it did a year ago, a month ago? Yeah. Let's keep growing. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's take some time and take a little bit of bread that reminds us that Jesus had a body.